You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine. Hope that all of you are staying safe, doing your part to help end this pandemic by following guidelines, by doing social distancing, by staying home as much as possible. Hope you're doing that, and hope that you're all safe and well as we try to get through this difficult time. And our responsibility here at Big Blue View and Big Blue View Radio is to provide you with as much of a distraction from all of that as possible. Talk a little New York Giants, keep your life as normal as we can, or at least this part of it as normal as we can. And that's what we're going to try to do here today. Couple of Giants thoughts regarding free agency that I'll share today. And also, the bulk of our show will be an interview that I did with Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy, who recently tweeted some interesting thoughts that might apply to the New York Giants. So I asked him to come on and discuss those and some other draft-related topics. So once we get to that, hope that that you enjoy that interview. Just wanted to hit a couple things first. Since we did our last show this week, the Giants have made a couple of smaller moves in free agency, bringing back kick returner slash wide receiver Corey Coleman and adding veteran running back Deion Lewis. Both moves that I actually like very much. I'm glad to see Coleman, who was a really, really outstanding on kickoff returns in 2018. Glad to see him get another chance. He can be a playmaker for the Giants if he fully recovers from the torn ACL he suffered last year and, you know, maintains the speed, you know, that made him a real threat on kickoff returns. He's never been, you know, the wide receiver who really matched up to being the 15th overall pick that he was in the draft a few years ago. But, you know, he's still young enough. He could still be productive. The Giants could still find a use for him in the passing game as a vertical threat. So we'll see what happens with Corey Coleman. Also, have been thinking that the Giants would at some point add a veteran running back to back up Saquon Barkley. And that's what they did earlier this week in signing Deion Lewis, formerly of the New England Patriots and who spent the last couple of years with the Tennessee Titans. Lewis, you know, is mostly a pass receiving threat at this point in his career. Maybe not the explosive player that he once was, but still a good addition for the Giants. Guy that can catch passes, guy that can be a security blanket for Daniel Jones. Guy who's very good in pass protection. I would encourage you to go over to Big Blue View, take a look at the film breakdown of Lewis that Nick Filato did for us. It gives you an idea of what Lewis's skill set is and what he can bring to the Giants. So, you know, and again, I would still like to see the Giants perhaps draft a big back, a guy who can pound the ball inside to help Saquon Barkley. But, you know, Lewis, I look at as a useful addition to the Giants' offense, and you know, we'll see how it all plays out. You know, in terms of did the Giants get better in free agency, and you know, probably they did, but you know, but we're going to have to wait and see. you know, once we see the product on the field. And this is going to be a difficult time for the Giants, a difficult season with a rookie head coach, a young coach like Joe Judge, not being able to really have an off-season program. I mean, we're looking probably at not having any practices until training camp. So, you know, normally rookie head coaches, first-year head coaches get extra time with their players. They get a second mini camp, usually. And it doesn't appear that the Giants are going to have the benefit of any of that, which is going to probably make the 2020 season much more difficult for Joe Judge and the Giants as they try to establish a program and get things turned around in New York. All right, Giants fans, what I want to do now is play for you the interview that I did with Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, then we'll come back with that interview. All right, Giants fans, I'm joined now by Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl. Jim, thank you very, very much for spending some time with me.
Yeah, thanks for appreciate you having me on.
Hope you and yours are staying safe in these crazy times.
Yeah, we are. Everyone's we're all going through this together. It's definitely weird, definitely strange, like you said, but we're all taking the proper precautions.
All right, and we're doing what we can here on the Valentine's Views podcast to keep things as normal as we can in terms of covering the Giants. And Jim, I brought you on because I saw a really interesting thing that you tweeted the other day, and when you tweeted this, it felt sort of like it was an arrow pointed straight at the New York Giants. And what I'm talking about is your tweet, you know, saying that any team that took an offensive tackle in the draft before taking, you know, defensive lineman Derek Brown or hybrid defensive player Isaiah Simmons was definitely drafting for need instead of drafting for best player. So I guess my question is, were you thinking about the Giants when you tweeted that?
No, I actually wasn't. I was not. There's a narrative out there that this is just an elite tackle class, and I just disagree with that. To me, there's not an elite one in this group. There's not a Tyron Smith. There's not a Joe Thomas. You put on those guys on tape, and they just jump off tape, and they're really easy to do. Like, all these guys, all the four juniors, Tristan Wirfs from Iowa, Andrew Thomas from Georgia, Makad Becton from Louisville, and Jedrick Wills from Alabama. They all have their strengths for sure, but none of them are like super clean prospects. You know, they're all very different. That's kind of who the consensus top four is. I don't even know if that's my top four, but that's who has everyone else's top four. And you know, none of those guys are the prospect. If you're just grading players, they're not to the level of Isaiah Simmons and Derek Brown. I mean, it'd be almost impossible to make that argument based off tape. So, you know, it's an ideal situation when you're drafting where need marries up with best player, and you draft the player and it fills the need, and that's the ideal scenario. It doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen that often, actually. So you'll see teams kind of reach to fill that need. And that's fine. I mean, I've been a part of teams that have done that. We've made mistakes doing it that way. To me, especially when you're drafting up high, top 10 area, you just take the best player. I mean, you got a chance to get a blue chip guy that's going to go to, you know, multiple Pro Bowls and you know, maybe Kansas someday drafting up that high. So that's all I was getting at. It wasn't specific to the Giants.
So actually, let's talk about the choice that the Giants have then. You look out in the mock draft community and all of that, and I think there's an expectation that the Giants will go offensive tackle, especially the way they handled free agency. So it's kind of a two-part question. What would you expect the Giants to do at four, let's say Simmons and Brown are on the board, you know, and all of the offensive tackles are on the board, what would you expect them to do at four? And if it was your choice, what would you do?
Well, you know, I don't have the intimate knowledge of that roster like obviously Dave Gettleman and that staff has in terms of, you know, just the makeups of the players and all that. Offensive line, offensive tackle is always a position that you'll see a lot of first-year GMs will go that route because they're pretty safe. Like those four tackles, I don't think any of them are going to bust. So if you're trying to play the safe route, you know, you can pick one of those guys and plug him in and play with them. And, you know, I think a couple of those guys are going to take their lumps early on because, you know, to me the most NFL-ready one is Jedrick Wills. He might have the lowest ceiling, but he's the most ready to play right now. But you look at those Giants teams when, you know, the Super Bowl-winning teams, they won because they were able to disrupt the quarterback. And to me, you got a chance to get a guy like Derrick Brown who can really affect the quarterback from, you know, the interior. Those guys are really hard to find. It's one thing, you know, it's much easier to find edge pressure than it is interior pressure. So to get a guy as disruptive as Derrick Brown, that would be really hard to pass on. And then Isaiah Simmons, you know, you're almost drafting two or three players. I was talking to a pro personnel guy the other day from a team, and he said that a third of NFL roster opening day rosters ended up on injured reserve this year. So that's a staggering statistic. So if you take Isaiah Simmons and you start him off playing the year and he's playing safety for you and a linebacker goes down, he's better than your next best linebacker, so you shift him there. You know, it just gives you a lot of flexibility. So both those guys would be really hard to pass up, but to get a guy that can affect the quarterback from the interior like Derrick Brown, be a hard guy to pass on.
So let's play this out a little bit. You know, we're talking about the Giants. If they were, you know, obviously they have the need at offensive tackle. You know, Nate Solder has underperformed his contract. They just signed Cameron Fleming, and he may or may not be, you know, a guy that you want starting a full 16 games. So they have that need at tackle. If they were to go, you know, with a Brown or with a Simmons or a Jeffrey Okuda, if he's sitting there at four, you've got to go to day two to get that offensive tackle. You're looking at, I think, the 36th overall pick. Who are some guys that you like, you know, in that area? Maybe that second group of tackles beyond, you know, what people call the big four.
Yeah, I think you're looking at like Josh Jones from Houston. I think he's a legitimate left tackle. I think he should be in that conversation with those other guys. I think the only reason he's not is because, you know, when juniors come out, the media like inevitably pushes those guys to the top of the class because they just assume they're great players because they're leaving school early. So that's always the narrative is that they're a junior coming out, they must be great. But Josh Jones belongs in that conversation. I think he would probably be in the mix there. A guy I really like is Matt Parrott from UConn. You know, Matt's extremely long. He's got really, really nice feet. He reminds me of DeBrickashaw Ferguson when Brick was coming out of Virginia. People in the New York area will remember him because he had such a great career with the Jets. And I'm not saying he's going to go anywhere near where Brick went. I think DeBrickashaw was like the third overall pick. Matt's not going anywhere near that range. But when you just watch the college tape, they have very similar tools. So would I rather take a Simmons or a Brown and follow back up and take one of those guys early in the second? That's what I would do rather than, in my opinion, reach for one of those tackles. Again, you're not going to find a guy like Derrick Brown at the beginning of the second, and you can make an argument off tape that the two tackles I just said belong in that same group with those, you know, four guys that everyone's kind of putting up there at the top of the first round. So that's the route I would go. I understand the logic of wanting to, you know, get an offensive lineman in there and help, you know, support the young quarterback, which I totally get that. You got to create a good situation for Daniel Jones moving forward and give him the best opportunity to develop and grow. But I think you can do that addressing it with that second round pick.
Interesting. I mean, it is a it's an interesting sort of underrated sort of way to go about this, especially when you consider that Dave Gettleman has never drafted, although everybody, you know, talks about his use of the word hog mollies and all of that. I don't think he's ever drafted an offensive lineman in the first round. Just out of curiosity, as I'm talking about that, do you put any stock in, you know, I think he's run seven drafts and never done that or never traded down. Do you put any stock in what a GM has done in the past in terms of what he might do, you know, in the upcoming draft?
I think when seven drafts is a big enough number where you can, that's a big enough sample size where you can kind of pick up tendencies and you know, what a guy does on draft weekend. So if he's never traded down, that's surprising to me. To me, that might be where I would look to go. You know, they've got a number of needs to fill, moving down, because that's going to be a coveted pick. There's going to be people wanting to come up for guys like Brown and Simmons. So, you know, to move down and stockpile picks, that, to me, honestly, that's the best route to go. If I were the Giants, it takes two to tango, so you got to find a trade partner. A good trade partner, you don't want to give that pick away because it's a really valuable pick. But if you can find value there and move back and you know, really address a bunch of needs, I think that would be probably the smartest play.
Yeah, I think it's one that I like. I kind of agree with that, especially if you can move back and still stay in the top 10 range. Although I've said before, if you're sitting at four and Jacksonville will give you 9-20 or the Raiders would give you 12-19, I think I'd take that.
Yeah, no, you should be able to get two long-term, you know, high-end starters with those picks if you do it right. So, I would be working the phones heavily this next month trying to, you know, see what I can get for that pick.
Yeah, so let's talk about a little different topic as it relates to the draft. And we know that we're in a strange time. The NFL is trying to conduct with free agency and all of that. They're trying to conduct business as usual as much as they can. They want to hold the draft, you know, on its regular schedule, although it'll be different without fans. And I'm not exactly sure what the format's going to be, but they want to hold it on time. But there's this whole subset of kids out there without the pro days, with NFL offices shut down, with travel shut down. There's this whole subset of, you know, late round picks, undrafted free agents who aren't getting to sort of showcase their abilities and get in front of NFL teams right now. What are you in a position where you can try to help some of these kids get some attention, Jim?
Yeah, and we tried to do that over the weekend. You know, we made an instructional video, kind of step by step, breaking it down all the way from doing all the measurements, how to set up the drills, what NFL teams are looking for, how to film it, you know, where to position cameras if you're, you know, an agent or a school trying to do this. So we actually had an agent reach out this morning, had watched it. They're having a pro day for a couple of their players this morning. Had a lot of great feedback just in less than a week. We've had a bunch of people reach out saying they've used it. So it's just our way of trying to help. You know, short of having a veteran NFL scout out there timing your players, just want to give these guys an opportunity to, you know, even if teams can't get an accurate 40 clock off these videos, if they know how to do the vertical jump right and the broad jump at some of these shuttles, and you can put some of the numbers, you know, in front of these NFL teams, if we can get one of these small school guys or non-combine guys, you know, signed as an undrafted free agent, it was worth doing, in my opinion. So we've had a lot of great feedback. A lot of agents have reached out and asked us if we could go time their players. Our staff can time their players, and one of our scouts is doing that today. I'm not hopping on a plane to do that myself. I'm just going to sit tight with my family through this thing. But we do have a couple of our road scouts are going to go out in time, and then we put that video together. So hopefully it helps. And you know, the other thing that's not being talked about a lot right now is
is not only are the scouts off the road right now for this year's class, the combine scouts are also not on the road. So those guys play a really valuable role in terms of, you know, identifying players for next year and getting all that you know, height and weight and speeds for next year. And they're off the road. So hopefully these small schools can use this video and can measure their players, weigh their players, time their players, and get that information to the NFL team. So they will have data going into the summer, because it doesn't look like this is going to change anytime soon. It sounds like guys are going to be off the road at least through June.
You know, I've had a couple of people tell me that as they try to put those kinds of things together, you do the best you can. You put that film together. You structure it the best you can. What's your guess on how seriously, you know, NFL teams will take those things, or how closely they might view them?
Well, I mean, I don't mean to sound any certain way, but if they follow the guideline that we put together on our video, I mean, I've ran pro days for 20 years, so, you know, everything we outlined in that video and broke down really in its simplest form, step by step. If agents or schools followed that, there would be a lot of validity to it, especially with the contacts I have in the league, and they know that if they followed that. Because, I reached out to about half the league's GMs before we did it, just to say, you know, is this a good idea? Would you guys use this if the schools followed our guideline and you started getting videos in, you know, would this be credible information for you guys? And they said, absolutely, that'd be a huge asset for us, so please do it. So, I think if they follow that guideline, there's no reason why teams wouldn't see it as credible.
That's great stuff. I mean, there's a lot of kids out there that have put a lot of time and effort into it and deserve whatever opportunity they can get. So that's good to hear. I did have another question for you in regard to, you know, the impact on teams, and obviously we're kind of looking at a situation where there might not be a real, you know, there might not be off-season programs for these teams. And as it relates to a team like the Giants, you know, with a brand new head coach, you know, obviously, you know, first year head coaches generally get a couple of weeks head start. Maybe they get an extra mini camp. With a team like the Giants, should we really lower expectations, or, you know, how much of a disadvantage does this put, you know, Joe Judge and his staff at in terms of trying to get a program built?
I think it's going to be really difficult. You know, it's definitely going to be a challenge. I think the teams that have had stability are going to benefit. I had a chance to see Daniel Jones recently. He was down here in Mobile, Alabama, training with his quarterback coach, and, you know, he's going into his second year, and he felt like he made good strides. And, you know, I know they were really happy with him, that previous staff. And, you know, now going into his second year, he's got to learn a different offense. And he's got to learn a new offense without, you know, the benefit of having a full offseason program, which is really difficult. I mean, the development of a young quarterback, that is not ideal. So I know he's done some things where they've gotten together with his receivers, and they've thrown at Duke, and they've done things like that. But it definitely creates a lot of challenges for a new staff and for a young quarterback, and they're going to have to be creative and figure out, you know, ways to get it done. It's the NFL's an end results business, but I mean, you'd be fooling yourself if you didn't acknowledge the fact that this is going to be harder than usual for the Giants.
Any idea or any guess on how the league might handle, you know, some of this stuff, just in terms of allowing teams to communicate with players or getting them playbooks, you know, while they can't get together as a team? Any idea how any of that might work?
Well, it's an extraordinary circumstance, obviously, so everything should be on the table. I mean, I'm not going to speak to what the league office will do or he's thinking about doing, but any solution should be on the table. If that's, you know, when this thing passes and everyone's cleared to resume work, if that's, you know, waiving all the normal CBA stuff, again, you probably have to have that passed through the PA, but waiving all those restrictions and just, you know, making it 24/7 through the start of the season, so we can, you know, kind of cram and get ready. I don't know, but I do think everything should be on the table, all options.
Yeah, it's obviously none of us have ever seen anything quite like this, Jim. Hey, I really do appreciate your spending some time with me. Always enjoy chatting with you. Why don't you you tell folks a little bit of just where they can find you on Twitter, and you know, anything you've got going on at the moment.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really enjoy coming on with you. So it's fun. Yeah, Twitter handle is at @JimNagy_SB for Senior Bowl. And then you know, we have a lot of great content at Senior Bowl, at Senior Bowl as well. So yeah, we'll be posting a lot of stuff leading up to this year's draft. And then, you know, really, we're going to be sprinkling in a lot of stuff for next year as well. And then once we get through this year's draft cycle, May, June, and July are going to be heavy on the class of 2021. Our in-house staff has already started working through next year's draft class. So we're already through the SEC, ACC, and Big Ten, and we're on to the Big 12 and Pac-12 to finish out the Power 5 conferences. So got a really good head start on next year. So, yeah, head to Twitter and follow us, and you'll be that much further ahead for this year's draft and next year as well.
All right. Hey, Jim, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Our thanks to Jim Nagy for taking some time to spend with us, for dropping some knowledge on us. Thanks to you guys for listening. Again, please stay safe. Please follow the guidelines. Do whatever you can to help this to help get through this pandemic, to help us all come out the other side healthy and get things back to normal. So we thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.